You're listening to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 28.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey. Welcome to another live coaching session on the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. I'm super excited to introduce our guest today. She is, of course, frickin' awesome. I know that you're not surprised by that. And we're going to tell you all the reasons why in just a moment. I want to share with you exactly how I got to meet our next guest. I was sitting next to her at a networking event, and there was something about why we sat next to each other and how we ended up next to each other that we both knew, you know what, this connection is a good one. And so we got to chatting, we connected afterwards, and I'm telling you, I am blown away by the visionary capabilities and the innovation that this woman brings to the entire coaching industry, but specifically for her clients. And so I'm super excited about introducing you. So without further ado, let me read her bio and then we will dive in and let her introduce you to herself. So our guest today is Cheryl Lightshue. She is a mentor, a guide, and an influencer. Many of Cheryl's clients describe her as the Yoda for small women-owned businesses and for solo entrepreneurs. Cheryl has had the pleasure of owning a successful and sustainable small business for over 25 years. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second because in the coaching industry, you may or may not know this, but something like 80% of all coaches are broke, guys. And that's because coaches ask really great questions and they are very passionate. Driven, heart driven, others focused, but they tend to run really poor businesses. And so this has become a passion for me to help other coaches run really well sustained businesses. But the fact that her business has been sustainable for 25 years says a lot about her business savvy as well as her ability to zoom out of her business and truly vision cast and move her business forward. Okay. All right. So I'm going to get back to her bio here. Now, she has stumbled, regrouped, learned, succeeded, and failed, but remains committed to being an entrepreneur. Totally necessary. We all know the ups and downs, right? Cheryl has also coached other women-owned small businesses to enjoy the opportunities of being an entrepreneur. Her mission is to help women-owned businesses to start, build, and grow their own successful enterprise. Cheryl, I've been yammering on about you for several minutes here. People want to know. Let's hear Cheryl. Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. How are you this morning?
I am delightful, and it's so wonderful to be here with you, Alyssa. This is going to be a great show.
It is going to be a great show. We've been talking about this for several weeks, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this interview. It's going to be amazing. So why don't you fill in some of the gaps to that story? What I know about you is that you really were coaching before coaching was a thing.
Yeah. You know, 25 years ago, coaching was not anything except on the sports field. But I had two small children and my husband worked retail. So hopefully some of your listeners can relate to that I needed a profession that was going to be flexible, that I could use my talents. I had a vision about how I wanted to go back into organizations to help them improve how they dealt with their talent. And the vision was really about the coaching model, which today is a no-brainer. Organizations are hiring people to do that. But when I started in the early 80s or mid-80s, that was not an option. And so I had this vision about what I was going to create. I wanted a business that was going to be flexible. I had a program that I had developed, and I just simply started knocking on doors because, again, remember, I'm older than dirt. We didn't have email. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have all these vehicles that we have today. So I started out and was able to create that flexible business, and doggone it, people didn't like what I was doing.
Yeah, it was definitely outside their comfort zone. And so you had to really create the vision for them to help them see the value in what you did. Now is probably a great time to help to let people know what your top five StrengthsFinder themes are. And if you've been listening to this podcast or, you know, listen to Maximize Your Strengths for any number of episodes, you probably are hearing some of her strengths already. Number one, strategic. Number two, individualization. Number three, maximizer, taking good to great. Number four, here's what I hear so loud and so beautifully, is your futuristic. Mm-hmm. Vision casting, the getting ahead, like seeing what is possible and then putting it into play right there and then. And then your relator, which is all about connecting and relatability and really connecting with people on a deep level that's special. That's special. So when you got your StrengthsFinder profile, what did you think about all of that? I know you said that, oh yeah, this kind of hits the nail on the head. Was it reinforcing for you? Were you able to sit back from it and go, wow, yeah, I am pretty freaking awesome.
Actually, when I first got my StrengthsFinder's results, I said, oh good, I'm not crazy. So freaking awesome wasn't exactly in my vocabulary, because I've always felt that I've been unique or different than a lot of the other people that I was working with. And of course, I've been working with a lot of people in corporate professional service firms. So their profiles were not the same as mine, yet mm-hmm. I knew they were hiring me because of the uniqueness that I was bringing. I just didn't have any language to put around what it was that I was bringing. But I've always been one to be ahead of the curve. I've always been one to think about, okay, how do we make that happen? How do we listen to what the need is and then craft what is needed to make it happen? And people have said to me, it's part of being the Yoda. It's I'm able to bring what is needed at the right time. And they're like, how do you do that? Sometimes yeah. people often describe me as Mary Poppins. You know, I come in, I land, I have a toolkit of things. I know exactly what to pull out based on what's happening in the scenario. And then when time is done, I'm ready to move on, because I want to move on to the next future thing. Don't bore me with the day-to-day mundane implementation. That's really not who I am. And that's not what they hire me for.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I talk a lot about strengths babies, right? Where our strengths never show up all on their own. They always show up in combination, like a good cookie recipe, right? Uh-huh. And I hear a lot of your strategic and individualization, being able to come into a specific situation, right, that involves people. That's why individualization is a relationship building theme, and go, okay, how do we make this work for this particular team, for this particular company? Let's vet out what is different about this company, how we can make it work, and how we can make it thrive. And then once you've got that, you know, enter Maximizer. Thank you very much. You know, we'll take this good thing that and we're going to iterate it, uh-huh. and let's make it even better. And then, as you said, like your futuristic needs that engagement of let's move on forward. Where are we going next?
Yeah.
So I just think, what a beautiful, and like Mary Poppins, it's totally an appropriate metaphor, because individualization can do that so beautifully. Like, okay, this is specifically what you need, and this is specifically what you need, and your relator is the one that allows you and gifts you with the really good questions. Relator is a great question asker, because it's always looking for the thing to make that connection, so you can find that common ground, right?
Yeah.
And so you pull that relator in, and then, all right, let's go individualization. Let's create a plan. And that's what strategic is so good at, is creating a plan and also creating a contingency plan. And then moving it forward, and your futuristic moves it forward, not only for them, but then you go, okay, now what's next for me? And so your futuristic shows up both on the client side, but then also on the business side for you. Is what is the next thing up and coming? How do I move forward? And, you know, when it comes to your clients, Cheryl, I think that, and I'm making a couple of assumptions here, but that that that's one of the things you bring for them is helping them to forward think. Okay, yeah. Don't get stuck in today. Let's look at what's possible. Let's look at the what could be. You know, just because you've done it this way doesn't mean you have to keep doing it this way. And in that way, I'm guessing that your clients tell you, wow, I was so stuck and you got me unstuck.
Yes, yes.
Because we all tend to get in our own ruts of what we've been doing, especially if it's working. But sometimes, even if it's not working, we get in these ruts of doing things the same way because it's how we've always done them. And so you need that futuristic to let's paint that picture and move forward. Let's get this going.
Yeah. And on the converse of that, I've had some clients that clearly they don't want that. They see that as critical. They see that as pushing them too far or not respecting where they've been. And I quickly realize that I'm not the right solution for them because I'm going to be pushing them to move, to be that change agent.
Yeah.
There need not be any guilt with that. No blame, no bad. It's just, I don't think I'm the right coach for you. And I think that's important as a coach to know where you fit and where you don't. And that's what's helped me to build my business.
Yeah.
When I've gotten into things where I don't fit, I'm miserable. They're miserable. Nothing happens. We're constantly fighting, even though they pay me really good money. It's to a point of saying, you know what? I'm not who you need. Here's who you need, and let me help you find who it is that you need.
Yeah, and you know, that's such a beautiful expression of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So often, and we see this with coaches a lot, right? Oh my gosh, it's a client that actually wants to work with me.
And pay me.
This is great, right? Brings us back to that point of a lot of coaches are really terrible business owners. But helping people to see, hey, I'm confident in my space, but you know, like fit. And I talk very often about fit with my potential clients. And Activator is in my top five. And I literally will not take on a client who is not ready and willing to get into action. They may be in a space of absorbing new information and of learning, and that's fine. But if they're only in that space and they're not ready to actually take action on it, I just say, you know what, this isn't the right fit right now. When you're ready to take action, let's go. Mm-hmm. But that's a part of my criteria for taking on a new client. And I've built in bonuses and things like that to my contracts so that it only allows action-oriented people in. Mm-hmm. And I did that for me. Mm-hmm. And for them too, because I know that forward action is what it takes to make change. But if you're wanting to get together and just talk things out and really explore things, that's not enough to make it a good fit to work with me. And I know that you've got those parameters around your business as well, different parameters, but ones that fit you,
right?
So that we can really draw in the right clients that are a good fit. And this is when we do that, it removes any bit of competition that we might have with our colleagues, right?
Agree. Like,
I don't see you as a competition in any way, shape, or form because I know that we empower people to move forward in their businesses, that I'm glad I have you. I'm glad that I have another person who is driven to do a similar, on a similar mission, but I don't have to feel jealous or I don't have to feel in competition. We can truly collaborate. And what a beautiful space that is.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's funny because in my book, the latest book, The Straight Talk for Smart Business Women, one of the areas that really jumped out when I was doing research for this book was the need to understand yourself and how many of those entrepreneurs talked about using StrengthFinders to do that. And so absolutely, you know, you are the StrengthFinders guru. Why in the world would I not refer people over and hold back something that I know is a critical tool to help them to succeed?
Right.
It makes no sense. So I love the world that we're in now, a much more collaboration. When I started, I'm going to use the term male model of business, but it really was. And competition was the thing, you know, we owned people. And if you, you know, you didn't share anything because somebody might steal something. Oh, good grief. How much business do I need? There's only one of me. I choose to be a solopreneur. And if I'm going to do the best for my clients, I'm going to want resources like you in my world. So I completely agree with you. The collaboration is key because I know who I am and what it is that I bring. When you're not, you operate from fear.
Yes.
When you are clear about that, you operate from abundance because you know what you bring.
Yes, because you know the difference between an abundance mindset and this scarcity mindset is so important. And I know you're listening and you're thinking, well, that's fine. You can work from an abundance mindset because you've got clients coming to you.
Right.
Yes. And the thing is that that's not always been the case. And, you know, if you allow yourself to get in this space of working from desperation and scarcity, like, oh my gosh, if I just need one more, I just need one more. Like it will kill your business and it will kill any ability to draw in the right things. Like the law of attraction is a real thing. The law of resistance is also a real thing. When you think about, I need one more client, guess what? You're going to resist that one more client and you're actually going to repel those people. And so it does, especially when business doesn't look so good, you do have to make a choice to welcome abundance and remind yourself that there are 7 billion people on this earth. And, you know, to have a full list of clients, guys, you really only need maybe if you're doing all one-on-one, I don't know that you can manage a whole lot more than 10 to 15 clients at any given time. Like that's not very many, but there's so much opportunity, but you have to begin working from a place of abundance and welcoming that abundance versus resistance and scarcity. So there, I'll get off my soapbox about energy, but
you can't hear that enough. Right.
And it's so easy to fall into that place of desperation, especially when the bank account doesn't look so awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just so good to have people like you, Cheryl, who share in that same mindset where, you know, you can talk me off the ledge from time to time and vice versa, like because we're in it together. And this is why I launched this podcast the way that I did, because we all have challenges. We all have challenges. We all have good days and we all have days where we're like, I'm not sure how to get through this thing. And when we can just be honest about that, own just how freaking awesome we are and go, yeah. And that means that I'm not everything. I am lopsided, which means I don't have all the answers. That's confident humility. And that is what helps us to move forward. And so that's why, we do the live coaching on this podcast is to help people see, you know, no matter how successful we are, and Cheryl is really successful, you guys, that we all have challenges to confront, and that's okay. That makes us human. It doesn't make us weak.
Right.
So on that note, Cheryl, we do all have challenges that we face every single day. And so what is the biggest challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
Well, so last summer I said, I am going to be semi-retired. So I'm stopping doing my corporate consulting work. I'm just purely working with women-owned small businesses and supporting their growth. So I would have thought there's going to be a lot more white space for me, right? I'm going to have time to kick back, spend more time with my grandchildren. And by the way, I do spend plenty of time with my grandchildren, but I tend to put myself off balance by saying yes to too many things. You know, I just love life. I love business. There's so many things that are simply fun and interesting and they pull my attraction, but I end up overcommitted and overstressed. And then I need to retreat. Then it's like, I don't want to deal with anybody. Let me get out of here. So I wish that there was a way that I could manage that energy. So, you know, it's like too much abundance. How do I manage that energy and how do I keep myself in balance?
Yeah.
Keep myself from not going too far over the line of balance imbalance.
So when you feel imbalanced, is it that you run out of energy or is it that you run out of time or is it both?
Both.
Okay. Okay. All right. And so when you say yes to things, it sounds like you're saying yes to the things that are intriguing, that kind of tug on possibly your futuristic, maybe your individualization. I'm not really sure which.
Probably
all of them, right? But that seem really exciting. How do you gauge whether it's a yes or a no? What's your criteria?
Well, I have gotten better about, you know, things that I value. So I use my values oftentimes. I look at, so spending time with my grandchildren is hugely important. So how much time will it take away from that? So that's interesting because my business is not my top priority anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I've had the successful, sustainable business, I have the privilege of being able to not be worried about that business. But there's so many fun things in business to do as I'm launching new programs and new things to support women-owned businesses. Is it fun is usually a criteria for me. Does it fit with what I would enjoy doing? So I try to listen to my own intuition about mm-hmm. does it fit with what I would enjoy doing. So that fun piece is definitely part of the criteria. But as I said, sometimes there's just so many fun things that I don't know how to, or I just don't use some kind of board criteria to make that choice.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm rambling a bit.
No, this is perfect. This is perfect. So when you talk about does it fit, what would make something fit for you versus not?
If it's new, I like new. I like new problems to solve. It's like new puzzles. I always feel like I'm Columbo. All my metaphors, Yoda, Mary Poppins, Columbo. But I do. I like puzzles. I like mysteries. And will it intrigue me is a piece.
So new could be anything.
Yeah.
So let's go a little deeper on what new means. New with regards to what? New in what category?
New in what category? New people?
Right. New because it could be something like, oh, you know, this business over here is working with a new app that they're launching and they're having X, Y, and Z challenge. And you go, oh, that's new. But does it fit like the rest of your criteria?
So it
can't just be new. It has to be new and blah, blah, blah. So what new things grab your attention?
Yes. So it's new, but it's new that uses my Yoda experience.
Okay.
So that's definitely in a piece of it that I really feel like I can contribute something because of my experience. It's part of the reason I use mentor instead of coach, because to me, a coach, we can coach people on many things without having had the experience. Mm-hmm. But for me right now, it's about my experience is going to add that richness of understanding, richness of tools, richness of taking individuation, or maybe the maximizer from really great to super awesome.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So let's whittle that down a little bit more, because I think that, you know, you've had a broad amount of experiences, mm-hmm. right? And what we know is that you can contribute in lots of ways. Mm-hmm. What are you most passionate about shortcutting that you maybe went through and you're like, I know I can shortcut their learning here, or yeah. I can shorten their learning curve, et cetera, or I can contribute this particular experience to help them get to that next level. And is that what excites you, is being able to use that experience to shorten other people's learning curves so that they don't have to go through the same pain you did?
Yeah.
Or tell me about what your experience is that you love to share the most.
I love the business of being in business. I love being an entrepreneur. And that is truly what I love to shortcut. When I started my business, I would have died for somebody to throw me a rope, give me an idea, make an introduction, open a door. I would have loved that. And so coming from that sense of pain at that point, mm-hmm. I don't want women entrepreneurs to experience that now. If I can shorten that learning curve, get some of that frustration out of the way, open a door, give them some tools, because most women entrepreneurs come in and they're passionate about something. And I came in because I wanted a business. when I became an entrepreneur. Was I passionate about what I was offering? Absolutely. But I love the business of being in business. I grew up in an entrepreneur family, so it probably just comes naturally for me. But if I can shorten that learning curve, and so it's interesting because you're asking that question. I've been asked to serve on a commission for our city, but the thing that I'm bringing there is not the expertise on the commission. I'm bringing the business expertise. How do you run a business effectively, and how do we make sure that it's profitable? And that's why I'm being asked to serve on that. That's why it's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Is that component.
So can you think of anything with whittling that down and articulating that to shortening the learning curve on business specifically and running a profitable business that you could say no to that would be, you know, fun and I know I could contribute here, but this doesn't align with that drive?
I think size of business is one, because I know the basics of being a solopreneur or a very small, I mean, I had 10 employees at one point, which I chose to not have them and go back to being a solopreneur for various reasons. But I think size of business, I think I'm better with service businesses versus a retail brick and mortar product business. Again, because I understand that, and that's really who I've worked with over the years has been, even in my corporate consulting, has been service-based businesses, professional service firms. Yeah, so I think service businesses and size would probably be things that I would say no to.
So on this commission that you're serving on the board of, does this fit?
Yes.
And it's a, tell me a little bit more about this board. What will you be, what does it entail and who is it for again?
So I live in the city of Burnsville, which for some of your national listeners probably doesn't make any sense, but the city owns a performing arts theater, the Ames Center, and this would be the advisory board for the Ames Center. So it's all about performance related topics, which is intriguing to me because I love the arts, but I wouldn't say I'm an arts connoisseur. So it's learned for me, it would be the learning of that side of the equation of the performing arts, but they also are owned by the city and they're expected to be profitable. They have had a struggle of being profitable and they just are barely profitable and the profit line is very thin. Mm-hmm. So being able to pay attention to some of those things within that commission and within that business to make sure that it remains a good asset for the city is important.
Gotcha. And it is outside of your normal realm of who you want to serve.
Yes. Yes.
So, and you don't have to answer right here on the call, but you know, does that really, it's intriguing and it's interesting, but does it fit?
And I would say, so it fits not because it's a business focus. It's not a business focus at all. It's a community focus.
Okay. Which is another one of your values.
Which is another one of my values. I mean, I'm just coming off being chair of our local YMCA. I've served on a couple of boards with some national boards, some other city boards. And so part of my values, I think, is that giving back to the community and serving others in a different way.
Yeah. So this is a question specifically for your futuristic to sort of pick up and run with. Is what does it mean for the future, your future, the community's future, for you to serve on that board? Why does it matter?
First of all, I think it's a community asset. And I love the community that I live in. I think we have a great community. We have a great city council. Being a part of that is important to me. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that question a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, certainly I'm not in the business of telling people, oh, you should, because shoulds are the worst, give up or make a different choice or that kind of thing. But really, you know, this question about prioritization, and we have people listening who are sitting there nodding their heads going, yeah, but it's like, it's important. And this is important. And this is important. And this is important. And this is important. All of these things are important, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there is only one you. Mm-hmm. And so is it important and a priority? And does it supersede the other bigger priorities, like time with your grandchildren, like, you know, serving those solopreneur women-owned businesses who are struggling to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And does that fulfill a different aspect of your values, like, you know, helping the community forward? Mm-hmm. And if so, that's okay. But then now you got to look at how much time am I actually giving to them? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, boards are one of those things that can just suddenly engulf mm-hmm. a whole lot of your time. So when you look at, you know what, I can give them, you know, 4 hours a month mm-hmm. for this. And how do you then set those boundaries? Have you thought about setting those boundaries? And, you know, have you asked those questions to the board? Is okay, if I'm going to be contributing here, I know I can contribute, but this is the amount of time that I can give to you. This is the amount of energy I can give. Because one thing I heard early on, Cheryl, and what you said was, I get to a point where I just need to retreat and everything gets shut down. Yep. And that happens to our strengths, right? When we overuse our strengths, they literally get burnt out. And it's like they run out of oxygen. And so when that happens, now we're left in a place where we can't contribute anything.
Right.
Because we're so fried. And so knowing that, how can you set the boundaries, whether time-wise or energy-wise, around the things that you are passionate about mm-hmm. so that you can give a little bit, but not so much that it fries you out and then you can't contribute anything for a week because you're just like, you're just fried. And this is, you know, I talk about the overuse of strength themes very frequently where we're hitting our easy buttons over and over and over again because we just don't know what else to do. But what we're talking about here with this hitting this frying point is underuse. When we shut it all down because we are so oxygen deprived, our strengths are so oxygen deprived, that they can't contribute anything. And that's as triggering and upsetting to our equilibrium as overuse is. Because Absolutely. Now we know we're sitting here and we're like, I know I can contribute, but I just have an empty cup. I have nothing more to give. Mm-hmm. And so part of creating, and I like to call it harmony, is all about boundary setting, right? And making those tough decisions to say, and just using this as an example, only because I don't know what all other commitments you have going on, but, you know, maybe saying to the board, you know, I love this, I'm passionate about it, but right now I have a full bandwidth. And so talk to me again in a year when I have a little less on my plate. I love the community. I want to contribute. If you need a half hour phone call, call me. I'm willing to help out, but it's not something that I'm willing to commit to. And this is probably in the same conversation about what is the time commitment here? And if they're telling you it's, you know, 2 hours a week or it's 10 hours a month, then you might go, oh, well, that changes things a little bit for me. And I don't have the bandwidth for that. That's my favorite thing to say is I don't have the bandwidth because people can't guilt trip you about that because your bandwidth is your bandwidth and they have no right, certainly. But they can't say, well, what else do you have on your plate? Like, do you really need to spend time with your grandkids? Right? And so it's a conversation more about boundaries even than all the things on your plate. Does that help at all?
Yeah, that's very helpful. And go figure that setting boundaries is one of those common themes that I've had to work on throughout my whole life, you know, mm-hmm. so that whole self-development. When you're an entrepreneur, you have to be mindful of your own self-development and the issues that keep coming up for you over and over and over again, because you're not going to be effective. The business is about you. You've got to keep you sharply tuned.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Very helpful. Thank you.
So, so good. And you're right. It's like new level, new devil, right? And you made this amazing transition last year when you're just like, and here's the thing, here was the thought going into it is, oh, I'm semi-retired. And so now I have all this white space. And so you began to sort of grab onto things like, okay, great. I can do, yes, I can, yes, and yes, and yes, and I can do this, and I can do this. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, that wasn't supposed to happen, you know? And so it's finding that harmony again and again, when you reach that new level. And, you know, as you're listening to this and going, yeah, I've been in business for 5 years, I've been in business for 10 years, and I'm so frustrated that I'm in that facing the same issue, you know, that you're going to face the same issue again and again, but it's different because the situation is different. So don't beat yourself up because you're facing a similar issue as you faced in the past. Just embrace it as, okay, great. This is a new level, which means it's a little bit of a new devil. And that is okay, because I am resourceful and equipped, and I know my strengths, and I can re-engage from the space of my strengths. And I pound home the idea of self-care. And that is because when we reach that point of overuse, when we reach that point of over-contribution, our only choice is to shut down, because we just cannot serve from an empty cup. I've been on several soapboxes today. I'm on a roll, apparently.
And I'm absorbing every one of them. I love it. I love it. I love your messages.
Oh my goodness. So Cheryl, I know that there are entrepreneurs and now probably board members of different communities who are listening, who are wondering, oh my gosh, I know Cheryl is such a rich resource, and I would love to learn more about her, where I can find her, et cetera. So where can people find you, and how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So my website is Straight Talk for Smart Business Women. And on that, there's a number of different resources. You can tap into my podcast. You can tap into my new book, The Straight Talk for Smart Business Women, Critical Tools to Build and Grow Your Business. I also have a Straight Talk Academy with just-in-time courses solving some of those similar problems that I see individual entrepreneurs having in their business. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. My email is there. My contact information is there. There's also a free ebook on Stay Calm and Build Your Business.
Oh, awesome. Yes, because we sometimes run out of calm, don't we?
Straight, not you and I, Alyssa.
No, never. Nope, never. Straight Talk for smartbusinesswomen.com. All right. Awesome. Cheryl, thank you for sharing your wisdom. As I said at the start and throughout, I'm so grateful that we know each other, that we can collaborate together, that we can lean on one another without that feeling of being threatened or jealous or judgment, and that we can just really, truly collaborate to serve the world better. This is what entrepreneurship is all about.
Absolutely.
So thank you for taking the time. You are brilliant, and I can't wait to continue our relationship, and for people who are listening to start their relationship with you.
Thank you, Alyssa. It's been delightful being with you.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. This week's podcast recommendation is Dean Bakari's The Meaningful Show. Cheryl and I talked about how you can make decisions. What do you say yes to? What do you say no to? We talked about boundaries. We talked about values. We talked about time. We talked about revenue. There's lots of things to consider when saying yes or saying no. What I like about Dean's show is that it talks about the self-improvement tips. He talks about setting boundaries. He talks about all sorts of insights that you can use to achieve your goals. But the first things first, you have to identify what those goals are. His podcast ranged anywhere from 1 minute to 40 minutes, so you'll get a variety there, and I think you might enjoy it. You can find The Meaningful Show on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you'd leave a review over on iTunes. Every single review means the world to me. To know you're listening and to know you're finding value makes this whole thing worthwhile. And hey, while you're over there, click on subscribe to make sure you're notified of future episodes. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.